Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love. Love that comforts
from heaven. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And you'll be able to help us out this coming Sunday is with that financial support. We're having our annual Wake Up America dinner. We'll be out at St. Joseph's in the Hills, better known as the Malvern Retreat House. That's this coming Sunday, April the 14th, from 1:30 to 5:30. Kathleen McCarthy, our president, will be the give the keynote address. We have a special guest and her son-in-law, Mark Houck, who also happens to be running for Congress here locally in Bucks County. All of our broadcasters should be there. We'll have a silent auction, raffle prizes, and others. Can also use some sponsors. All the information can be found at the bottom of our homepage at inhissign.com. You scroll to the bottom, there's a link there to download a flyer with all the information. Again, that's this coming Sunday, not far away. If you have questions, you'll want to call Maureen here at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And yours truly will be on hand. Look forward to seeing you there. And I want to get to our guest. We're joined today by Mary Jane Zuzulo, and she is a great, great, great niece of Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre, or Saint Sister Mary of Saint Peter, who was a French Carmelite who received approved revelations from Christ to initiate the Holy Face devotion. Mary Jane graduated summa cum laude with highest distinction in philosophy and as outstanding student of philosophy from the University of Illinois. She also contributed the foreword for Father Lawrence Carney's The Secret of the Holy Face, and was the keynote speaker for the first conference on the Holy Face. She's published articles in The Remnant and Latin Mass Magazine, and her work has been discussed on media outlets including Census Fidelium, Spiritual Strength Catholic, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Guadalupe Radio, and WSFI Catholic Radio. And after today, we can add In His Sign Catholic Radio to the list, Mary Jane. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. It's an honor.
And the book we're going to talk about today is Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions. And to get started, I suggested to Mary Jane we start with the Golden Arrow Prayer, which is a prayer that came out of these revelations to Sister Mary and the Holy Face devotion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and in the hells by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, after looking at your bio and taking a look at the book, Mary Jane, it looks like you're probably the foremost expert on this devotion.
Well, I've had a lot of time. We grew up knowing about Sister St. Pierre. That's what we called her in our family, and that's what her Carmelite sisters called her, just kind of shortening her name, I guess. But really, it was in the early 90s before we were aware of many written materials about her. When my grandfather passed away, we were going through his things, and we found all these books that had been sent by the Carmelites to my great-great-grandfather, who was the eldest brother of Sister St. Pierre, and he immigrated to America at about the same time that she entered Carmel. And so actually, most of these books, all of them except one, were in French, and so we didn't, you know, weren't capable of tapping into those so much. But I was able to eventually track down another copy of the one that was in English. And this was before the time of the internet, so it took a little longer in those days. And I just, you know, was amazed every time I read it. And, you know, those were busy years for me and my husband and, you know, a lot of little kids. And I homeschooled. And but every so often I would go back and read her biographies again, and just was amazed at the depth and the breadth of the devotion, and also kind of perplexed that no one at the time seemed to know anything about it. So anyway, you know, through the years, I guess the relevance of the devotion became more and more evident. You know, communism is a main thrust in the devotion in terms of using the devotion as spiritual armament to defeat it and any ideology that kind of seeks to replace God's authority with man contriving his own truth and justice and morality. And so anyway, that through the years was really something that I thought was more and more important, especially these last few years. And then as I delved into it a little bit more to do the research, I realized that in hindsight, you know, now we have the benefit of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, for example, and even St. Louis de Montfort, to kind of understand that this devotion really is a very deep spirituality and very Marian. So, you know, that's some of the things that I was mulling around before really getting into the writing.
Very good. Again, our guest today is Mary Jane Zuzolo. The last name is spelled Z-U-Z-O-L-O. The book is Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions. The book's available online at sophiainstitute.com, the Sophia Institute's website. Here locally in the Philadelphia market, I'd encourage you to visit the St. Jude shop over in Havertown. If they don't have the book in stock, I know they can get it for you in short order. I can also mention, just because I looked today, if you go to Sophia's website, the book's actually on sale. If you order it today, it's a couple dollars off the normal price. I don't think it has anything to do with the interview today, but by all means, I think by the time the show's over, you're going to want to go out and pick this book up. So we had a chance to speak briefly yesterday, Mary Jane, and you know, I had mentioned that I was somewhat familiar with the devotion. There's a gentleman, a maintenance man that's involved in the ministry where I work, and he had told me about the devotion a number of years ago, and I had picked up the Golden Arrow book, and then The Man of Tours, the story of Venerable DuPont and his work in trying to spread this devotion once he became aware of it. And I, a lot of our listeners know I'm in recovery. I think I killed a whole lot of brain cells with the amount of alcohol that I had put in my body. So I don't always retain what I read. And so in getting the refresher in your book, I forgot just how many miracles and the promises and everything that are involved in this devotion. But before we get to that, perhaps maybe a little background on the period of time when Jesus would come to visit Sister Saint Pierre.
Sure, this was after the first French Revolution and kind of leading right into the second French Revolution. In fact, maybe we can touch on this later, but one of the shocking revelations that is in her longer biography is that Christ literally asked Sister St. Pierre to take on the sins of France during this time, just before the Second Revolution. He said that, you know, she could use his merits as residing in his wounded holy countenance, which she was to offer to the Father in reparation for modern sins of blasphemy, which are really encapsulated as offenses against the first three commandments. Mm-hmm. And so this was her tool, so to speak, her mystical armament. in the salvation of France. So she really was like a Joan of Arc, only her battles were spiritual, whereas Joan of Arc's were more material. And you know, I think the impetus for him requesting this reparation was the extreme offenses, blasphemous offenses that were really debuting with, or at least concurrently with the French Revolution. You know, there was obviously so much persecution against the church, against priests and nuns during that first revolution, and desecration of churches and holy objects. But, you know, along with this was this whole ideology. There was, you know, kind of the free thinking that was tied to the rationalism, which went back, you know, really to the Enlightenment. And that was, you know, man believing that he could reason or argue his way to truth rather than to rely on the immutable truth of God as preserved in natural law and, you know, in the first three commandments. And then that opened the door to modernism, and in that, you know, man began to think that truth it was fluctuating and could change, and was perhaps even based on personal feeling. And then, you know, now we know that has led to what we might be more familiar with, moral relativism, in which man is saying, "Oh, well, there's not just one truth. There's my truth and your truth, and." And then finally, wokeism, I think, in some ways, is turning the truth and morality as preserved in the doctrine of the faith on its head. And, and you know, I think we can be reminded of Isaiah, "Woe to those that call good evil and evil good." And so this was kind of the setting of the world, and especially France at the time of the revelations. And you know, France was the, quote, eldest daughter of the church, going back to King Clovis the First, who was baptized, and I think that was in the 400s, and, you know, had sort of been considered the new Israel in terms of leading the way of, you know, God and the Catholic Church. And so for France to commit these evils was, you know, really an especial affront to God. And so that's kind of the backdrop. And in terms of the question about the miracles, really, I think we can thank Venerable DuPont for adding a lot to the credibility of the revelations. And ultimately, you know, they were approved immediately for the whole world by Pope Leo XIII in 1885. And prior to that time, just about 6 months after the death of Sister St. Pierre, let me back up. Venerable DuPont had used in miracles an image of the Holy Face that was a copy of the Veronica Veil image at the Vatican. And this image at the Vatican, as I said, this time period kind of led into the Second French Revolution, and that had not only rocked France, but really all of Europe and even the Vatican State. And so Pope Pius IX had to flee to Gaeta for safety. And, you know, so he asked for a special exposition of the Veronica Veil and a true relic of the cross in reparation and for pleas of mercy upon the Vatican States. And for 3 hours during the third day of the exposition, the veil, which is normally very faded and, you know, the features are not very distinguishable. And again, this is the Veronica Veil that, you know, we refer to the courageous woman, Veronica, who approached Christ during his passion and wanted to just for a moment give him consolation. And so she offered her veil that he might wipe his face. And in recompense, he left an exact imprint of his countenance on the face of her veil. And so this had been preserved through the centuries and was at the Vatican as it is now. But, you know, if you do look at it now, it is still very faded and the features are not distinguished. And so anyway, during this miracle, the features did become quite distinguished and enlivened. And, you know, there was more of a color to them. And the canons who were in charge of the relics, they noticed this, and they called in the priests of the basilica, and they rang the bells, and people came, and there was a notary to make note and send it to the Pope, and it was entered in the day book, and then there were people there that drew what they saw, and then this was before the time of the photograph, and so they made engravings of these and then imprinted these images on kind of a linen-type material and then touched those images to the actual Veronica veil, the relic of the cross, and the lance of Longinus. And then mostly convents received these copies, and they had a red wax seal to indicate that this had been done. And the Carmel of Tours received, I guess, more than one, and they gave one to Venerable Dupont. And so he had this in his parlor, and he had an oil lamp constantly burning in front of it in reverence. And, the first miracle, someone came in with an eye ailment that just happened to mention this during the course of the conversation, and he said that, well, let us apply some of the oil that's been burning in front of the Holy Face, and then we'll say these prayers, which are very consistent with the devotion, but the devotion had not yet been approved at that time by Leo XIII. And the woman was immediately healed, and then this happened again and again, and then eventually, over the course of 30 years, there were 6,000 documented miracles because he requested this of people. You know, if you are healed, please send me a document by your doctor and so forth. And then there were several, maybe as many as 4,000 more that were not documented in his presence. But then he also sent vials of this oil throughout the world to anyone who would request. And it was so well known at the time that all people had to do was just write on an envelope, Holy Man of Tours, France, and this would get to him. And so, it wasn't just the miracles, but his life was totally dedicated to all kinds of charitable works and pious endeavors, but the foremost was the Holy Face devotion, and he was all about that. And so I think that helped make the case and made it an easy decision for Leo XIII to so immediately approve it, which was sort of breaking from tradition, because normally a pope does that more incrementally.
Right. So that's where, when you say incrementally, it's where it would have been for the area first and then maybe the country before it gets expanded to the world?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And Pius IX actually referred to Venerable DuPont as, quote, perhaps the greatest miracle worker in church history. And yet, isn't it astounding that no one knows of this? And
I
heard some extra noise. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still here. Sorry.
Oh, great. No problem. But yeah, I myself originally did not know about all these miracles. We weren't, we didn't realize that when we grew up and knew about Sister St. Pierre. And so, yes, it's really wonderful that devotion, it was so popular for about 70 years. But as Christ warned in the Revelations, he said a number of times that Satan would do everything in his power to stamp out the devotion. And you know, sadly, the most recent 70 years, I would say that is the case, that it seemed to fall into obscurity, and, you know, such that, you know, I growing up knew of no one else who knew about the devotion. But, you know, thankfully in the last 5 years, maybe 3 years especially, it just sort of exploded on the internet. And there's a lot of great resources of you know, great summaries and prayers and all sorts of things that you can find on the internet. And then, you know, there have been some more books written, thankfully, and so I wanted to add to that with mine.
Yeah. Now, and the book is so well sourced. If you just flip through it, and it every page has at least one footnote, and as many as maybe a half dozen footnotes, all from the various historical sources. What I found interesting with the timing, Mary Jane, was, you know, you mentioned Leo the 13th, and of course the vision that he had in 1884, and God is always right on time with providing what we need in order to defend the church, defend God, and like you said, at the same time that Leo the 13th has his vision, this devotion to the Holy Face comes about. And like you mentioned, it kind of disappeared, and I'm probably later to the game than the 90s. It was probably around 2010, 2015, in that time frame where I picked up the books and learned a little bit about it and got myself a chaplet. And so it's interesting that now with the situation that we have in the world today, like you mentioned, the moral relativism and the whole doctrine of the Catholic Church being turned on its head, and not always by people outside of the church. Some of the people inside the church are doing a pretty good job of that as well. But that this devotion is making a comeback because it was designed just for this purpose.
That's right.
And I think after I had read the books, if I'm not mistaken, and we were just talking about it before we went on the air with the show before, friend Maureen that works here, we were talking about the Holy Face, and she had mentioned that she prays the chaplet, and I had actually picked up a newer one from Father Richard Heilman, and I know there was a period of time there was where he was making a big deal of the Holy Face chaplet and using this in adding it to our arsenal in this spiritual war that we're in with Satan in these times.
Yes, it's a beautiful chaplet, a set of prayers, and you know, it's centered on meditations on the five senses of Christ, which are primarily residing in the face as wounded in his passion for you know, our sins. But also, it's interesting in the devotion, it's the renewed wounds to his face that we are actually called to make reparation for in this particular devotion. And you know, Christ explains, and it's, you know, part of he is the head of the mystical body, and so just like the body, you know, this is how he is able to be wounded now. But yes, the all the sins of blasphemy, as I mentioned, that are sort of summarized in offenses against the first three commandments, you know, whether we're taking the name of the Lord in vain or not recognizing the Sabbath as holy and attending Mass, or if we're holding something else effectively as a god in our life, or, you know, as I mentioned, this kind of a sad package of ideologies of modernism and communism and Freemasonry and so forth. You know, these are other ways of extreme offense to God. And it's just like in the Old Testament, you know, I remember noticing that Psalm 81 said, you know, let them go by the desires of their hearts, and then they shall walk in their own inventions. I think we are suffering the effects of our collective choices in embracing these ideologies. And so God is letting us, you know, walk in our own inventions. And just like in the Old Testament, the answer was reparation. That is the answer now. You know, that is our way to turn God's face back toward us, so to speak, so that we can enjoy his blessings again and, you know, renew everything through him by making this reparation. It sounds sort of shocking to say, but Christ did reveal, and I'm paraphrasing, but he did make this explicit, that it is the greatest devotion to make reparation for the greatest evils. And again, these are ones against God's rights. You know, we can think of all sorts of heinous crimes committed against the last seven commandments, but the first three are the axis, and you know, they are the most important, and they will always be the first three. And so that's a way in which the devotion is really really special. It's pinnacle for that reason, and also because it does make reparation and concerns adoration of the Godhead itself. And other beautiful devotions, which this devotion is, you know, so integrally tied to, like the Sacred Heart or Divine Mercy and so forth, they do differ in that they lead to adoration of the Godhead by focusing on the sacred humanity of Christ. And so the ones devoted to the sacred humanity of Christ, we have several of those, but we only have one that is devoted to the Godhead, the Trinity.
Amen. Our guest today in this hour is Mary Jane Zuzulo, and the book we're talking about is Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions, published by Sophia Institute, available at Sophia's website at sophiainstitute.com. If you're going to be out locally here in the Philadelphia area, if you visit the St. Jude shop in Havertown, if they don't have it in stock, they can certainly get it for you, and suggest you use them before you use some of the other big online retailers I mentioned earlier. Also, I noticed on Sophia's website today that the book is on sale. You can save a couple dollars if you order today. Mary Jane, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I was interested in the beginning of the book, kind of after the preface, but before you really get into the book, the comparison with Job and the Holy Face devotion. So maybe when we come back from the break, we can we'll kick it off with that. For our listeners, for our listeners, thank you so much for being with us, and we've got another 30 minutes to go. I'd encourage you to stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston, and I just want to mention a couple of upcoming retreats before we go back to our guest. Coming up this coming weekend, it'll be April 12th to the 14th, is the Matt Talbot 57 retreat out at Malvern. I think they have some 270 registered. Yours truly has been asked to direct that retreat. Kind of last minute, unfortunately, the person that was supposed to give the retreat had to have some surgery and not able to do it. So there's still some beds available. If you're interested, you can go to the Malvern's website, malvernretreat.com, and register for that retreat there. Two in the future, May 10th to the 12th, is the first annual Mother's Day retreat. Father Chris Allar, Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and a very popular priest, is going to be on hand at Malvern. And it's a co-ed retreat, men and women, and families are invited to join. If you know your mother's going to make the retreat, you're able to join her on Sunday for Mass out at Malvern. And then my regular men's weekend is August 16th to the 18th this year. Father Bryce Lundgren, the priest that wrote the book The Catholic Cowboy Way, will be on hand to lead us in retreat this year. Those retreats and all retreats at Malvern, you can find at malvernretreat.com. Click on register for a retreat, and they're there in calendar order. You can scroll through, and I'm certain you can find a retreat that would be attracted just to you. So we'll go back to our guest, and today we're joined by Mary Jane Zuzulow. She's written the book Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions, published by Sophia Institute, available at Sophia's website, as well as in the store here at the St. Jude Shop in Havertown. So before we went to the break, Mary Jane, we covered some of the history, the miracles that have occurred. But I found it interesting in the beginning of the book where you contrast or compare Job with the Holy Face devotion. And, Job certainly didn't have an easy time of it, and yet was true to himself, true to God, and, through his own reparation, we see some coincidences or concurrences with this whole Holy Face devotion.
Yes, it's really interesting. Just a brief summary of his life and what led to his calamities, I guess. He was a very endearing character of the Old Testament. He was possibly a king. He was alive during the time of the patriarchs, and though he was not an Israelite, he did hold to the one true God, as the Israelites did, and he was singular in terms of his prosperity, but also his piety, and this catches the attention of Satan, and Satan challenges God that, if Job were stripped of these blessings, that he would curse God. And, again, this is interesting. Of all the heinous crimes that Satan could hope to induce Job to commit, the thing he wants him to commit is blasphemy. And by the way, Christ does reveal in the Revelations that Satan willingly delegates the charge of other categories of sin to other demons, but those of blasphemy he keeps to himself. It's his flock of predilection, actually, according to Christ. And God does grant this challenge, and he does take away Job's blessings one after another. He loses his children. They die. He loses his property. He loses his own health to leprosy. And he is even, you know, his wife is left as a blessing, but she tells him to curse God and die. And so he has these, quote, friends who they kind of want to put God in a box and say, well, God is a just God. He would never smite an innocent man, and so to speak, and so therefore you must be guilty of some heinous crime. And so there's, you know, this debate back and forth between Job and his friends, and eventually, you know, a youth interjects that, you know, these misfortunes can be sent to help people to attain more sanctity. And then God himself interjects that in times of doubt, you know, men should bend humbly and trust in God. And so both Job and his friends commit some familiar sins to us. The friends, they want to create their own truth by ignoring the innocence of Job. And then Job, he even, you know, does kind of carry on about his misfortunes and doesn't speak enough of God's goodness toward him, which is sort of tantamount to saying that God had smited him as an innocent man. And yet he does realize his wrong, and he humbly confesses and makes reparation before God. And this pleases God. And so God tells Job that the friends must make reparation through Job. They, in the words of the Dewey Rames translation, which does follow the Hebrew literal, it's you know, the face that Job is to offer his face in place of the friends, and this is reminiscent of what we do in the devotion. And I guess, before I go on about that, I should just say that, you know, it was clear that these offenses are grave. One, you cannot define your own truth. And also, you know, we don't get, so to speak, to make up our own morality. You know, Job was sort of doing that by wanting to attribute the morality that has been given to us men by God back onto God. And, you know, we don't get to do that. God is the highest standard of justice. And so reparation needed to be made, and God does accept the face of Job, so to speak, his reparation, and in the end rewards him twice for all his, you know, for all of this. He receives twice all his possessions, and he has more children, and, you know, happily, just as he would have it, be all alone. And so I think that that offering of the face, it's that we are both like Job and the friends. We're like the friends in that we're not worthy, so to speak, to offer our own faces to God in reparation. We must rely on the face of Christ and offer it in reparation. That wounded face has residing in it, you know, Christ's merits and love. And yet we're like Job because we are offering reparation for our brethren, our friends. It's just that we're using the merits of Christ instead. And yet we must initiate the process. And so in that way, there's, you know, parallels. And then it was really interesting that, you know, the more I got into it, the more I saw that, you know, there's multiple analogies in the book of Job in terms of his life events, sort of drawing out the some key elements of the devotion. And I won't go into those now, but, you know, just, you know, I did briefly mention that, you know, Satan wished to tempt Job to blaspheme, and that we now know is the most offensive crime that we can commit. And even being allowed to tempt Job, you know, I draw out some comparisons to that. Job's leprosy, Job's resistance and great humility, and then finally God's acceptance of Job's face in place of his friends, and, you know, his reward of these wonderful gift for having interceded for his friends. And so, you know, we are greatly rewarded, too, for interceding for our brethren in this devotion. But, so I kind of had fun pulling out parallels with all those events in his life. And it does remarkably sum up so much of the devotion.
Yes, it does. And if you want to learn more about the similarities between Job, you're going to have to run out and pick up the book. People that take on different devotions, a lot of times we'll hear about promises that our Lord or our Blessed Mother have attached to them. And I think of the Sacred Heart devotions and my good friend Father McKay, who has a real devotion to the Sacred Heart, and he'll often talk about the promises that are linked to it. And you know, just like the number of miracles that have occurred as a result of this devotion, you know, if you look through the promises that are attached to this, by my holy face you will work marvels. You will obtain from my holy face the salvation of a multitude of sinners. And I think about back in the late 90s when I was a extraordinary minister of Holy Communion and taking communion to the homebound. Number one concern about the elderly was what was going to happen to their kids that didn't go to church. And when I saw this promise, it's like, there's the solution. Offer this devotion to the Holy Face and it'll be the salvation of a multitude of sinners. Not just a handful, not just 100, but a multitude sounds to me like a big number. All those who honor my face in a spirit of reparation will, by doing, perform the office of the pious Veronica. That those who, by words, prayers, or writing, defend my cause in the work of reparation, especially my priests, I will defend before my Father and will give them my kingdom. I will defend them, I will preserve them, and I will assure them of final perseverance. Those who on earth contemplate the wounds of my face shall in heaven behold it radiant with glory. And the list goes on. So, it's definitely worth looking into. And, you know, when we hear that devotion to the Holy Face, we mentioned earlier there's a chaplet, and the chaplet is detailed in the back of the book. A number of prayers. It kind of looks like a set of rosary beads, except of decades where you would have 10 beads. There's just 6. And really, the basic prayers: arise, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let all that hate thee flee from before thy face. And the other one being my Jesus mercy, followed by glory be. And so that makes up the chaplet. When we say devotion to the Holy Face, what else would you include in that, Mary Jane?
Well, yes, I think that the golden arrow prayer that you said in the beginning, and then the Holy Face chaplet, that is supposed to be, you know, very powerful against the enemies of the church. And the golden arrow, I should have mentioned, you know, that does pull down graces for the multitudes, as you mentioned. Christ revealed that to Sister St. Pierre when he gave her that prayer. And, you know, there are beautiful prayers that are in the manual of the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face, like the Litany, and just numerous prayers that are, they're all beautiful and important, and especially the two that we mentioned. I think, you know, that's like an ongoing practice that we should do, just like the Rosary, a daily endeavor to do those. But the devotion, it's kind of nice. It goes as deep as you want it, really. One of the things that's not always mentioned as part of the promises is that it is the greatest source of grace second to the sacraments. And, you know, that's another kind of shocking statement by Christ. But much like in the spirit of Sister St. Pierre and St. Therese and St. Paul, there's kind of, I guess you could say there's first, this embracing of of the devotion. I know St. Paul didn't know about the devotion. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there, I guess. But the you can embrace devotion in terms of the prayers and as a spirituality on that level, but slowly make yourself more and more into a co-redeemer in Christ, using the prayers and the power of the faith that has really heretofore been largely unknown, if not virtually unknown. And then finally, and this is kind of what I was getting at with the St. Paul comment, as, you know, to become a victim in Christ, totally annihilating ourselves into his sacred heart, you know, destroying all that is not of Christ, and, just becoming a vessel for him to perform his office of mediation between God and man, you know, in us. And, you know, this is all tied to the Eucharist. That's a very important part of the devotion. And, I can get into this a little bit more, but, you know, this is in line with what St. Therese did and Sister St. Pierre did. They were both victims, so to speak, or vessels that, you know, were just totally devoted to reparation, which is an act of love and compassion. It's kind of like one emotion. It's consolation or appeasement of God, and then mercy for man. And they just saw it as all one. And so, you know, for them to become more and more a co-redeemer was a very natural part of that.
Yeah. Again, our guest today is Mary Jane Zuzulo. The book we're talking about, Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions, available from Sophia Institute Press at their website, sophiainstitute.com. Locally here at the St. Jude Shop, and suggest you use them before you use the other online retailers. One of the things we mentioned earlier, and I just want to make sure people, besides the book, I happened to do a search on the Archconfraternity, and it looks like you have your own website. Is that right? HolyFaceDevotion.org?
Yes, that's right.
Very good. So, in addition to the book, there's the website's there with plenty of resources available, and I encourage you to take a look at that as well. So we've got about 8 minutes left, Mary Jane, and I'll leave it to you where you might want to go.
Okay, I have had questions before maybe about the title. I could unpack that a little bit for people. Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation of the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions, and we've spoken a little bit about each of those. But the Sixth Station of the Cross, I think probably most of your audience would be familiar, is the part of the Way of the Cross, which is said most often in Lent. But anyway, it commemorates the valiant and compassionate woman who wiped the face of Christ, and then in return, Christ left his exact likeness upon her veil. And she's become known as Veronica because that means true icon. But the veil symbolizes the, merciful love, both given and received, which is really the essence of the devotion. And a lot of people might recognize that term, merciful love, as tying into St. Therese, and it does. And if we had more time, I would go into that. But I do go into that in the book at length. But it's also reminiscent of veiled treasures, which both St. Therese and Sister St. Pierre seem to have identified. We can kind of look back and realize this, which are aids in line with the Carmelite mystical tradition of, just help along the way, utilizing the wounded face of Christ and becoming closer and closer to God and, approaching union with God, ideally. These wounds that Christ currently needs consoled are, again, caused by blasphemies that are aimed at the divinity in the modern age, or, the face of Christ, which is the doctrine of the church. And they're, they fall back, so to speak, on Christ's face and renew his injuries. And so Christ you know, asks repeatedly in the devotion for Veronica to console him. And so that's the biggest thing that we're, you know, wanting to do, is to console him. And he gives great promises to those who do, yet it is supposed to be a selfless endeavor on our part. And so just like, you know, Veronica, we offer Christ consolation through this reparation, and then he, in turn, imprints his likeness upon those who console him. And it's, you know, a recompense in proportion that, you know, also reveals this exchange, this greatest source of grace second to the sacraments. And, you know, I know people may be a little bit confused about, you know, just the term reparation to the Holy Face. And the Holy Face does represent three things. It does represent his passion. It's kind of a recording of that, the merciful love he gave to us in that passion. But it also represents, as I mentioned, the face of the church or the doctrine and the Godhead itself. And so, again, this is a unique devotion because it's to make reparation for and adoration to the Godhead versus the sacred humanity of Christ. You know, Christ even said that this devotion is like the miraculous wine served at the end of the wedding feast, and referred to the other devotions, you know, implied that they were the common wine. But again, they're all so beautiful, so needed, and this devotion was really found, so to speak, in the Sacred Heart, and it's very tied to that, you know, and is offered through the Sacred Heart in the sacrament of the altar, even. I guess, you know, we are to utilize the merits and love of Christ in our offering rather than our own, like we, you know, talked about earlier with Job. And so, therefore, it's sort of like an offering of God to God, mirroring the consecration. And, you know, we have here a new work for new crimes, as revealed in the Revelations. And it combines the power of God with the cooperation of man. And finally, I probably don't have much time left, but, you know, it is the mother of all devotions in two senses. It's kind of shockingly revealed by Christ as the pinnacle devotion, as most preferred by heaven, again, because of its status of making reparation to the Godhead versus sacred humanity. And there's all sorts of things that go along with that I probably don't have time to get into, but it is spiritual armament for unparalleled times of iniquity. And so again, it's the greatest devotion to make reparation for greatest crimes, and it's something that people don't know a lot about. Is it so Marian, and it was given to us by Mary. And she was given a new title, Our Lady of the Holy Name of God, and the mystical experiences of Sister St. Pierre toward the end of her life really affirm Mary as mediatrix, and kind of, part of that is also co-redemptrix and mother of man as well. And so it sort of, you know, most honors and defines her role in terms of all the devotions.
Very good. That was a pretty quick summary in about 4 minutes there. We have a couple of minutes left, and all of this, of course, can be found in the book. And, you know, it can picking up this one book might save you from having to pick up the three different books in the life of Sister St. Pierre, The Golden Arrow, and the Holy Man of Tours, of course, the book about Venerable DuPont, and get it all in one spot. And what came to mind, Mary Jane, as you were giving that to us, was that, you know, there's been all different devotions that have been given to us through various mystical activity and what have you throughout the course of church history. But it seems that God raises up these new devotions. Christ and the Blessed Mother bring us these new devotions just in time for what's coming. And you mentioned how important this devotion is in battling times of great iniquity. And there may have been times in the past that were equal to or greater than what we're looking at right now in 2024 on this planet. But I suspect that we're right there in terms of needing this devotion to battle what's going on in the world right now.
That's right. And one of the beautiful things about this devotion is it does guard against chastisements that maybe are specific to the time of the revolution too, but French Revolution, but it may be all the more so now that the malice of revolutionary men. So the chastisements it does guard against the elements as well, but it's specific for our times and it's needed now. I think we can all sense that. And Christ Himself said, "Iniquity has never reached such a degree." And so, I think things are brewing that unfortunately we may not be very aware of or only partially aware. But it's a tool for our times, and it's a tool to assist Our Lady in her spiritual battle with Satan. And it is a sister devotion to Fatima for that reason, and it sort of prefigures Fatima in many ways. I talk about that in the book as well. So, yes, it's very important for the times, and it's a beautiful spirituality.
Very good. Mary Jane, I'm glad we got together yesterday and were able to turn this into an hour. We wouldn't have covered nearly this much if we had only had the 20, 25 minutes or so. So I want to thank you for being here for the whole hour. Again, our guest today has been Mary Jane Zuzulo. The book is Unfailing, the Sixth Station of the Cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions. The website is theholyfacedevotion.org. Lots of details on there. You can learn how to pray the chaplet and some of the other prayers available there while you're waiting for the book to arrive. Mary Jane, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate the whole hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. God bless you in the work you're doing. For our listeners, thank you for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us today. I certainly appreciate it. For all those that are coming to the dinner on Sunday afternoon, I look forward to meeting you. If I've not met you in the past, be sure to find me and make yourself known to me. I certainly appreciate all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. And before I use my usual sign-off, I just want to ask for your continued prayers, especially for myself and the men that I'll be offering the retreat for this weekend, that we all be touched in a special way. And then I'll be with you next Wednesday. And until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care.